What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 301, and this is our last podcast of 2021. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
So much. What's going on, Bob?
I don't know. We took last week off. It was Christmas time, or if you celebrate other holidays, it's holiday time. And yep. Ryan was a little under the weather. I think everybody is kind of like a little bit under the weather, it seems. Yep. But did you do anything fun for holidays? Did you yourself get any tech related items or fun stuff for Christmas? Yeah. Or did you get your kids anything tech?
Yeah, we did actually. On the kids side of things, they've had those the Amazon Fire 8 kids tablets mm-hmm. for like 3 or 4 years now. And they've held up pretty well. But they've kind of wanted to like make YouTube videos and stuff, and the cameras that were on those things were like horrible. So we ended up upgrading them to the Amazon devices again, but it's like the Fire 10 Kids Pro. Okay. So it's a bigger screen. It's got a better quality camera and audio on it. So we'll see how that goes. That's kind of on their side for tech. I ended up with some double shot PVT keycaps that I
had. There you go.
My wish list. My wife surprised me with those. I was like, oh yeah, nice. Thanks. Yeah. I kind of forgot about those.
Did you put them on yet?
I've got a couple on my Corsair keyboard here. Unfortunately, like, you know, Corsair is kind of weird with their control and Windows key sizes. So yeah. I don't have those keys swapped over, but I've done a couple just to put them on.
Feel so much better?
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. I like them. They're a little more solid. We got I think I talked about this already, but we got the robot vacuum from Wise.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did you hook that up yet? I got it hooked up. It did its whole thing, and like I sat there and watched it on the app, like making the lines and everything.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. It was. So we've ran that once. What else? I was thinking there's something else. I bought myself a Cricut machine like a couple weeks ago. So that wasn't really Christmas, but it's kind of tech related. Yeah. Quite a few things actually. So, man, how about you?
Nothing tech related really. I had got myself just like stuffer around the house, you know.
Yeah.
I was just like, I've been putting this stuff off, you know, and I got a big full size mirror for my bedroom.
I saw that picture. That thing was huge.
Yeah, it's actually from IKEA. What's kind of crazy is I go to IKEA, the actual store.
Yep.
And then I like measured it in its box, and then I go out to the car and it's like, nope, won't come in the car thing. So I'm like, oh, it's gonna be like, you know, like 15 20 bucks for shipping. It was like $50 for shipping. Dang. But I was like, I really want this mirror. Every other mirror that was like this size was like $400, and the one at IKEA was like $120. So I was like, okay. So I was just like, what if I just add all this other stuff to my cart to like make up for the $50 in shipping, you know, just like other stuff that I needed. So I just like went through and ordered a bunch of stuff from IKEA. I got, what else did I get myself? I don't even remember. I just got a bunch of stuff from around the house. Nothing tech related. You know, I always have good tech stuff. Didn't pull the trigger. Like, don't need any new camera stuff. The one thing I did want, which I should have pulled the trigger on before Christmas, was, I'll actually bring it up so you guys can see it, is the Govee Lyra. So I don't have a lamp like in my I don't have a lamp in my living room, and it during the day it's fine, but at nighttime sometimes you want something.
Yeah.
And this Govee Lyra was on sale on Amazon for $119 for like the entire month up until the week of Christmas. And then it went back up again. Now it's $149.99. And I'm just like, but it's
some Govee lights already.
Yeah. The ones that are actually behind my monitor, Govee lights. Like I'm a fan of Govee. I think if you're not going to make the jump to like the Hues, which require
a good alternative.
Yeah. This is a very good alternative. That's not as expensive. The app is actually like the mobile app is really good in my opinion. And this would be perfect because, you know, like normal times, like I can just make it, you know, like a normal white color, but then, you know, if I'm doing something else and I want a cool color, like I could change it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I'll eventually get this when it goes down in price.
It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. So
someone was just talking about, they had bought one of the like behind the TV ambient lighting things, and they mentioned it was Govee as well. So I've been
Govee makes good stuff. I think there's, while there is competition in this space for like smart home lighting, there's not a whole bunch of like well-known brands. And I think over the past like year, 2 years, like Govee has done a really good job with like basically making a cheaper version that works really well of like the Philips stuff or the LifeX stuff. Like, and it all works with all your smart home stuff. And you know, it, like, yeah. I said, I'm a fan. They make some really cool light bars that like can go on your wall, and you can make like designs and stuff. And they do make the what are the things that you have in front of
the Nano Leaf?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so they make a Nano Leaf, I guess you would call it, like a knockoff too. There's a lot of cool stuff they make. So if you guys want to, like, I highly recommend Govee. They're not as expensive as some of the other brands, and they work really well. But that was what I did not get myself, but mostly home stuff. But yeah, holidays is, it's kind of like, it's definitely like a slowdown time for tech stuff, because we're right before CES.
Yep.
Most companies in general towards the end of the year kind of take the last 2 weeks off of the year, you know.
Yeah.
Especially this year with everything that's going on. So not a whole lot going on. We do have some news. We have an awesome review this week. I reviewing this motherboard, and I was like, man, this thing is just there's so much in this, and because it's been like a couple generations since I reviewed an Asus motherboard, some of the stuff that's on this board, I was like really impressed with, which we'll talk about. So before we get into that, I do want to let you guys know, if you want to follow along with everything that we're talking about this week, we do have a show notes page that you guys can go ahead and access. It is linked in the description of wherever you're watching the video, or if you're listening later on audio, so you guys can go ahead and follow along. And, you know, as we talk about stuff, you can kind of click through with us on there. But the motherboard that I'm talking about is the Asus ROG Crosshair 8 Extreme. And the cool thing about this board is when X370 launched, which is two generations back, we did have an Extreme board, but it wasn't, that was at the point, do you remember when Ryzen first came out, like the Ryzen boards weren't really on par with the Intel boards.
Yeah, you know? they were just like missing a few features or just down a notch. And then we obviously kind of came back to parity, I think, by the time X370 was available. X570.
Yeah, X470, X570 definitely is when we saw more parity. So yeah. Like that board really wasn't a really extreme board, but this board, so two generations later, no extreme boards on the AMD side, and now we finally have one, and we this comes very late in the product cycle, but I think it's definitely has its place, especially considering Intel chips are hard to find, AMD chips are pretty plentiful. This is the time that people, you know, holiday season, coming into the new year's time when a lot of people are building new PCs. So I think this coming out, this is also technically an X570S board, I guess, if that's what you want to call it, because there is no chipset fan on this. So you're not going to have to worry about chipset fan noise or anything like that. But this is a big boy. This is the flagship ROG X570 motherboard from Asus. And they basically have pulled out all of the stops on this board. There's nothing. There's one thing it's missing, which is not a massive deal, but I'll talk about it. But it basically has everything that you're going to want on an X570 board. So it's a EATX motherboard, which means that it is, we'll go to that stuff and then we'll get into the accessories here in a second, but it's EATX, which it means it's a big board. Like, it is a big motherboard, and it is basically completely wrapped in metal. You have metal heat sinks basically everywhere. Hardly any of the board is visible.
Not much exposed, especially once you get a cooler on there and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty much everything is covered with metal. You also have metal on the backside as well. This not only helps out with stability, but with cooling. So this is like a heavy, very, very heavy motherboard. And one thing that's always great with extreme boards is you get a lot of accessories. And this board has quite a lot of accessories. Here you can see everything that comes with the board. Like, there's a lot of stuff here. But some of the cool things to point out, that definitely come in handy. One of the first things is this little screwdriver. This makes installing those M.2 drives extremely easy. Like, it's just...
Yeah, this is like the tiniest screws, and you're always hunting for the right size screwdriver.
Yeah, so you have that. Also, all of your drivers come on a flash drive with this board, which cool. is pretty awesome. So you get that. You also get a really cool accessory. This is the ROG fan controller. So this fan controller supports up to 6 fans and supports up to 6 ARGB connections. So whether your fans are ARGB or you can connect an ARGB strip to it. And that allows you, you can, here you can see like fan connection, ARGB connection, you know. And basically you connect this via internal header to USB, and then you can control all of your fans, all of your RGB through one piece of software. You don't have multiple softwares for different things. You can control it all through ASUS's Aura Sync, which is really great. You also get this really cool, it's called the ROG Clavis, which is a USB-C to 3.5 millimeter gaming DAC. It has AI noise cancellation. It's much like that Creative product that we reviewed a little while back, kind of like the same thing. Basically, you know, we're all at home. We're all kind of, you know, we're all making Zoom calls and, yep. And things like that. And this basically gives you better voice clarity and all of that. It's also great for gaming as well, if you wanted to use it like that. And because it's USB-C, you can actually use this, you know, with a laptop. You can put it on your phone. You can do all that kind of cool stuff. And the ROG logo does light up, if you're wondering. Nice. So you have that there as well. And, you know, you can switch between PC and mobile, and it does its thing. So that's pretty cool to have as well. And then this motherboard has a DIMM.2 slot, which we'll show you, which works with this DIMM.2 module, which basically looks like a... looks like memory, but basically it's a module that has two M.2 slots on it. These M.2 slots support all the way up to 110 millimeter, both PCI Express and SATA modes on this. So you can, you know, you basically get two extra M.2 slots on this board without sacrificing anything, which is really cool. So you have all of that there. So a lot of accessories with this board, tons of stuff. Now going over the board itself, power delivery, 18+2 power phase design. Each power stage is rated for 90 amps. You also have 45 amp chokes on here, 10K premium capacitors as well. So basically you're getting 1620 amps available for power, which is insane. Like most high-end boards are like, you know, at the low end at or like 600, at the high end, I think we've seen 900, but 1600.
It's like doubled, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to run a 5950X on this, no problem, no issue, no overclocking issues, nothing like that. And of course, all of those power delivery components are covered by these two big heat sinks, which are connected by heat pipe. It's just awesome power delivery here. It's just great. Dual 8-pin EPS. One is optional. So if you're doing, you know, heavy overclocking, you want more power, more stable power, you have that there as well. One thing that's really cool about this board, and I think ASUS started this on X590, the Intel side. I think they started with last generation Intel motherboards. And basically what that does is, you know, you can kind of see you have your fan connections here. These fan connections are 1 amp or 12 volts, and they support this thing called ASUS Hydranode. And basically what that does is that allows you to pick up any fan splitter off the shelf and connect up to 3 fans to each header. With ASUS Hydranode, it allows you to control each of those fans individually. Which is nice. Really, really cool because, you know, if you have a splitter, typically you would just set the speed or
yeah, controlling one and controlling all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really, really cool that they've added that. And that's on pretty much a lot of their new generation of motherboards. Something I didn't even know about until I started reviewing this motherboard. So it's like super cool. Especially if you're somebody who plans on powering all of your fans off of this motherboard, you can easily do that, which I think is really cool. Coming over to the side here, you have this sort of covered section, which is really cool. And you can also see that DIMM.2 slot. Basically, it looks like a memory slot. It's right next to your memory slots. You kind of have that here. Covered section has your power buttons and all of that. There's also, if you can see in this picture, you can kind of see it here. You have your postcode display as well. But this cover section basically covers a lot of your connections, and they put them at a 90-degree angle. We've seen EVGA do this. It's good to see ASUS do this. It makes it easier to connect a lot of these connections. Standard 24-pin EPS. You also have an optional 6-pin here. This board does have Thunderbolt 4. If you want to run Thunderbolt 4 in powered devices, you plug in the extra 6-pin here, and that gives you full 60-watt power output on both of those ports if you were doing Thunderbolt 4, which is really cool to see. So it's like fully supported, not just the connection, but you have the power. So if you wanted to, you know, have a monitor with just one connection, you could power it and do all that kind of stuff as well. Coming down to the bottom of the board, as I said, covered in heat sinks, just covered. You know, big heat sink, top heat sink here, which covers an M.2 slot. Second heat sink down here as well. And this heat sink is actually a single piece of metal. It's not like the entire thing is a brushed piece or polished piece of metal. It's really, really, really heavy duty. Under those, you have your M.2 slots. You have three M.2 slots. All of these ones support up to 80 millimeter drives. And so with these three plus the two on the DIMM.2, you're getting five out of the box. Five M.2s awesome. On it. Yeah, out of the box. You can see, like, me as a super fast storage person, just awesome stuff there. One thing that's really cool that they've done with this too is we talked about those little M.2 screws. They have these little, I don't even know what you want to call them. You can see the little plastic piece here. Mm-hmm. Basically, what you do is you put your drive down and you just turn that over. You turn that little latch over and it just locks the drive in. So no more losing the M.2 screws, trying to find them. It's on all of these. It's one of the best. The funny thing, it's one of the best little upgrades that you're going to get on this board, because it just, it solves that problem. It's all such a pain.
Yeah. Because the drive is like, wants to flip up, you know, and you've got to hold the drive down, get that screw right where you need it, and get it in there. Yeah. So no, those little things are so nice to mm-hmm. have on boards. They make installation so much easier. Even if you're only putting that drive in like one time, it's so nice to have.
Yeah. So you also have water pump headers on this board. The water pump headers support 3 amps and 36 watts. So I forget how many, I think there's at least two or three on this board. So you could technically power an entire water cooled system off of the board itself.
Yeah.
There's enough power to do that, which again, you don't typically find. You also have water temperature sensors on the board. They're kind of down here, you can see. Also water flow indicator connection here as well. So like you can run an entire water cooled setup off of this board completely. You don't need anything extra. Yeah. You don't need anything extra, which is really, really cool on this board as well. Expansion slots, two PCI Express. These are PCI Express 4.0. The top one is X16. The bottom one is X8 electrical. If you have two cards installed, they're both going to run at X8. Now, one thing with the M.2 slots, again, we only see typically two, sometimes three. We have support for five. The bottom two, they share lanes with this bottom PCI Express slot. So if you install one drive, this drops down to X4. If you use both of these M.2 slots, you can't use this PCI Express slot, which is fine, I think, especially considering most people are using single cards, the 3080, 3090, 3070, and none of those cards support SLI. Well, 3090 does, but you know, 3080 on down doesn't support SLI anyways. But by default, these two M.2 slots are disabled in the BIOS. You have to go into the BIOS and enable them. I show you how to do that. I made a BIOS video for this, so I show you how to do that if you guys are interested in that. But just so much on this board. Rear IO, you have so much stuff. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 USB 3.2 Gen 2. You have 2 Thunderbolt 4 back here, 10 gig LAN, 2.5 gig LAN, Wi-Fi 6E. I mean, it's all here, man. Like, it has all the connections that you kind of would want, especially the 10 gig LAN.
The only thing I would change, or like, because there's 2 DisplayPort ins on the back there, mm-hmm. which I think is interesting. I just
those are more, so more USB so
connections, but
the DisplayPort in is for Thunderbolt, so you can run a DisplayPort in.
Gotcha.
For Thunderbolt devices, that's really what it's for. Okay. You know, so you have all that. Other cool things on this board, you of course have RGB. So there's an ROG logo on the IO cover, which actually looks really good. You have the ROG logo on the chipset heatsink, likely going to be covered by your graphics card, but we took a picture of it here. And then you have a section, basically a full RGB strip down the front edge of the board. This is going to have some really nice underglow if you have this installed in your system. Also, one thing I've never seen on a motherboard, I've never seen this on a board before, is that your audio ports,
we've seen that.
Have you?
Yeah, I was on another Asus board.
Okay.
But I haven't seen it often, but I love that feature. It's so awesome.
Yeah, so you have all that there. One thing I didn't talk about is that on that top heatsink, it kind of looked like a mirror, but this is actually a 2-inch OLED screen. And nice. it can display a bunch of stuff. By default, it's going to display like your CPU temperature, CPU fan speeds. It can do all that kind of stuff.
Kind of gets blocked there, though, huh?
Yeah,
on what cooler you're using.
Yeah, we have a big cooler on here. But, I mean, if you think about it, it's going to be vertical. So this is like in a test bench, so it's not...
That's true.
You know, but it is going to be covered just a little bit. Yeah, but you can CPU fan. You can do some pretty fun animations. You can put some text on it. And when you boot up your system, it acts as a postcode display as well. So if you're having trouble booting up, it's going to put the code there and let you know what the issue is, which is really cool. And then there's like, you can do some other animations and things like that, which is really cool. This board has everything. I go over software and all that stuff. It's just, it literally has everything that you would want in the X570 generation, plus so much more. For me, I mean, this is so much storage. 5 M.2s, as I said, all Gen 4 M.2s, I might add. So everything is going to be five Gen 4 M.2s on this, which is amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
Plus, you still have 6 SATA 6 gig ports as well. You have, again, 10 gig LAN, 2.5 gig LAN. You have Wi-Fi 6E. You have Thunderbolt 4. You have USB 3.2 Gen 2. You also have Gen 2x2. It's not on the rear I/O, but there is an internal header. So if you have a case that supports it, you can get a little adapter too, to put it to the back of your system as well. So you have just everything on this. The only issue is, let me find a picture of everything installed. Maybe I have a picture of everything installed. So when you have your graphics card installed, and we have a 3080 installed here, as you guys can see, you basically, because the M.2, that screen on the M.2, it's kind of big and thick, mm-hmm. you basically can't hit the release on the PCI Express slot. I basically had to take off the M.2 heatsink to press that down. Mm-hmm. Even if I didn't even have a CPU cooler on it, I couldn't do it. Just because it's so thick there, you just can't press it down. I think Asus kind of knows this, because if you remember on their new Z690 motherboards, they have the PCI Express release button now.
Yep. I was just going to ask who that was that had done that. So, okay.
Yeah. So I think if you're going to use all of the features in this board, you're going to make use of all that storage. You're going to make use of the, the 10 gig LAN and things like that, and all the USB, I think this is an excellent board. Now, it's not cheap. It's almost $800, which is a lot. But it's going to, again, and then it's going to handle all your overclocking, 5950X and above, you know, just so much stuff on this board. Just like, has everything. It literally has everything that you're going to want. Again, the only issue, like I said, is that PCI Express release, which again, if you're not, you know, you install your card once, you're probably not going to be doing it much more after that. So I gave it a 9 out of 10, and our editor's choice of works is just that Sweet. Damn good. It's just an awesome, awesome motherboard. Definitely check out the review. I also did a BIOS walkthrough for you guys if you guys are interested in checking that out as well. And then the week before we took our week, or the week that we took the week off, I took a look at a CPU cooler as well. This one comes from Iceberg Thermal. I don't know if you guys remember, we reviewed their ice
like sleep. Glacier or something. Green one, right?
Yeah. So they they still make this version in a green, but this is their midnight version, which is all black, black everything. Like even the fan blades are black on this. It's a smaller cooler. Still a lot of plastic on it, like to kind of give it that ice kind of glacier look. Yeah. But overall, it's a really nice cooler. Super, because it's so thin, like if you look, I mean, it's a very thin CPU cooler. It's not all that thick. Single tower, single fan. The fan is on a little plat here. I can kind of show you. I guess you can't see it here, but the fan is on like a little plastic. You can't see it. But you can't really see it, but the fan is just on a little thing. You basically slide the fan down in. So no more fan clips. We talked about how much I hate fan clips. No fan clips on this. It's really a small cooler, but it comes with pre-applied thermal paste, which I'm not the biggest fan of. But for a lot of beginners, I mean, you know, you like it, you don't like it, but pre-applied thermal paste. But our installation was extremely easy again, just because this cooler is so small. You could easily install this in a case, no problem. You can see this is kind of what it looks like installed. Doesn't take up a whole lot of space at all. Your memory is going to show, so this is not going to cover your RGB memory. And if you look at our results, it does pretty well. It was our best idle temperature out of all of the CPU coolers that we've tested, which is really impressive. But if you look at the load temperatures, I mean, it's competing against dual tower, dual fan coolers in these tests. I mean, it really is. Yeah. So it's doing, you know, it's not the best cooler that we've tested, but I mean, the best cooler that we've tested is a massive dual tower, dual fan cooler. So it does a really good job keeping things cool, and it's not all that expensive. And it's not all that loud either, too, with a single fan. How much is this? This is $56.99. This version, and then they have another version that isn't all blacked out, which is $46.99, which is essentially the same thing almost.
Yeah.
I think, you know, their older cooler that we reviewed last year, it didn't perform as great, and I think this is a great comeback for them. So I'm excited to see some of their new products. But if you're looking for a cooler, it's not all that big. This is not crazy flashy either. It's a good air cooler for what, you know, for the price, especially for the price. It's, you know, either $56.99 or $46.99, depending on which version that you get. Easy installation, supports the latest sockets. So definitely check out that review as well. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And we have a really interesting build this week. It's called Project Ocean. And this was part of the Zotac Magnus 1 challenge. Basically, Zotac, one of their newer small form factor cases is their Magnus 1. I think actually the Magnus 1 is I don't know if it's a pre-built, like a pre-built PC. But in any case, it's a very, very small case. This one's done by Tim Pillay, and it is themed after the ocean, which is something we don't typically see. But as you can see, this is, you know, the ITX case, but he has gone ahead and added this sort of like wave that's kind of done in this acrylic, which I think is really cool. The surfer guy on the front with the wave. It's just, isn't this like so different compared to what we normally
it's see cool. I like that. The and how they're lit, you know, like how they each one of the like those panels glow, and there's some like coral in there. No, I like this look. There's the mirrored front to it, and then you've got those clear pieces there, and each one of them kind of goes up to make the wave look. Yeah, I think this looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, and I think with this Magnus one, I didn't see any, I didn't look at all the other ones, but this is one of the ones that like kept this smaller form factor, you know. A lot of the ones like kind of build out around the Magnus one. This one keeps it very small, very compact, but it's like, it's so sleek. I mean, just like, look at like, it's so.
The way those, and you can't tell from this, almost from that angle, it's kind of has that swoop over the top that makes it look like there's a smooth piece, but just the way that those cuts and each individual piece makes it look like a wave that's forming and then crashing over. Yeah.
And then you can, awesome. He made a video so you can see how.
Oh, I didn't watch the video.
Yeah, how cool is that? Oh, that is pretty awesome. Sick. You know, how it did all that as well. So very, very cool stuff. Just check it out. I mean, it's completely different, but this is like something you'd like want sitting on your desk. It's essentially is a piece of art, and it's especially with that light show, you know, that you can do. It's very, very cool. So definitely check this one out. Again, from Tim Pillay. It's called Project Ocean. Just super, super cool. And if you're looking at, you know, getting inspiration, want to check out case mods, we have a full Case Mod Friday section. How many pages? We have 48 pages of case mods. So if you guys want some inspiration, want to see what you can do with PC hardware, definitely go ahead and check that out. And it's news time, man. We have basically, I mean, we've talked about it for weeks. The RTX 3090 Ti. We say this is going to be the high end card that NVIDIA announces basically in a week or a little over a week at CES. And it's basically been confirmed. First, there's this little embargo screenshots for the RTX 3090 Ti Supreme X24G from MSI. And then we have this little screenshot that says, you know, January 27th is the date, you know, for the embargo. So, yeah, I mean, I guess this is kind of what NVIDIA, I guess, has to put it. I don't understand because, I mean, what are they competing against?
I mean, they're not competing against anything other than themselves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you know that they can't just like, well, you know, it makes sense like to make cards for, I want to say the everyday guy, right? Because the 3090 Ti is like a pretty rare card. Like not a ton of people get this card.
Yeah.
So it's pretty special, but you can't just like not release that next flagship card at the same time. So,
and I guess it is because, you know, January comes, this comes out end of January, and then like what, like Christmas or, you know, holiday season, September, where we'll have 4000 series, right? I mean, that's so it's like,
yeah, you can't wait any longer to launch this thing.
Yeah. I'm excited to see like the, you know, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 cards that are going to come out of this. Would be cool to see, you know. Yeah, I mean, we'll see next week. It's going to be the full GPU, faster memory, still going to be 24 gigabytes of GDDR6X, but at 21 gigabytes per second.
450-watt card.
Wow. 450-watt TDP. So, yeah. So that's exciting. I'm excited to see that. And to put more on that rumor, we have this picture. Oops. We have a picture of an Asus Tough Gaming 3090 Ti. The box. This is the box. This is not the card. Right. but we have the picture of the box. This is 3090 Ti. So and there's one over here as well. We're assuming this card's coming. We're assuming that We'll get an announcement at CES, and then availability as far as probably reviews and availability will be the same day on the 27th of January. So that's exciting. Yeah. So some new stuff there. So definitely excited for that card. I probably won't get one, but yeah, just super, super fast.
Still exciting to see. Yeah.
You know, 6 nanometer is coming up, and you would think the next generation 6 nanometer from AMD would be like their next generation graphics card. You know, it'd be like sure. their new thing based on 6 nanometer. No, it's their Navi 24, which is going to power the RX 6500 XT and the RX 6400. The first picture of the GPU, which we have right here, has been leaked. Not much to see, obviously, but that was leaked. And then pictures of a 6500 XT, or what it's supposed to, you know, this is a render, but 6500 XT, single HDMI, single display port on this, 2-slot card here with a single fan in the center. And then you have your 6400, which I think would be a pretty big selling card if they're available, because again, you know, with the way you need a discrete card, play some 1080p, 1080p esports, you know, Fortnite, Counter-Strike type stuff. This card, single slot card, half height card, single fan in the center, much smaller. Again, HDMI, DisplayPort, that's it.
That's all right. I mean, I think the price point on this, you know, having the just dual DisplayPorts or the dual display options out, get you at least, you know, dual monitors if you need it. They're not going to be like super hot cards or anything.
Yeah, and they're going to be hungry,
so they'll be perfect.
Hopefully there's going to be a decent amount of them, because like there's still people buying like 1650s. Right. You know, because like that's what's available, or that's what they could find. And they're buying them for way more than what they should be buying them for. So I think if we get more of these out there that, again, can do 1080p esports, maybe some other 1080p titles and, you know, lower quality settings just for people so they can get, because there's so many people that are like, I have all my parts except for my GPU, and they're, you know, they're running it off of the integrated graphics, maybe in their processor or whatever, as get a discrete card. So yeah, so that's kind of good to see there as well. Also, new motherboards leaked, H670, B660, and H610. We'll go through them really quickly. So you guys can kind of see these new motherboards. This first one, the Asus ROG Strix B660A Gaming Wi-Fi D4, which means this is a DDR4 board. For a B660, this looks actually kind of nice, but it is an ROG board.
Yeah, it's a Strix board, so it's going to have a few more nicer features.
Yeah, so you kind of, like I said, it looks pretty nice. Next is the Asus Prime H670 Plus D4. Again, DDR4. I think with the more mainstream chipsets, you're going to see a lot more D4 boards, just because the availability of DDR5 and the price. These aren't really meant to be enthusiast-grade parts, per se. Enthusiast-grade systems. So you have that one. And then you have the Asus TUF Gaming H670 Pro Wi-Fi D4. Again, DDR4.
How they're putting some branding on the battery, the right CMOS here. Battery. Yeah, there was that there. And then like the previous one had the little ROG symbol on it.
Oh, right there. Yeah. I guess it's a part that's never really been,
you know, takes up so much space, right? That's one thing that hasn't changed over the years, is it's that CR... 2025 or 2032 battery that like that's the standard, and it's probably going to be that way for a while, so we might as well slap a logo on it too. So
because I mean, if you look at this and then you look at either that one or I think this one's even more dramatic, like that one, it really it really sets the board off. I like it. That's pretty cool. So you have those ones, and then we also have ones from MSI and some more Asus ones. which I really like this MSI. I like the green. This is the MSI Mag B660M Bazooka DDR4. I like this green. I like it.
It looks like that green thermal take case you reviewed.
Yeah, a little bit.
A while back, right? Yeah. Like, you pair those up.
Yeah, so this is a micro ATX board. Yeah, I like that green, man. It's pretty cool looking. We also have the Asus Prime H610M AD4. Pretty standard, you know, not super expensive board there. And then go back one.
Sorry. That M.2. Never mind. I thought that was a vertical M.2 slot, but that's just the heatsink over the power.
Right here. Yeah. Power delivery. Yeah.
Yep.
And we have the Asus ROG Strix B660i Gaming Wi-Fi. Small little board there. I love mini ITX boards, and it's just so cool to see how much stuff they can fit on these boards. So those are some new boards that have been leaked. We expect these chipsets to be seen or announced at CES next week. So some cool boards to be kind of a lot of new boards incoming, I would say, for the lower end chipsets, which is kind of exciting there. Also talking about Asus, is there's been reports of some of their ROG Z690 motherboards are burning up, as you can see in this photo. And it's a capacitor that's like right here. And basically what they've said, somebody did a video on this on YouTube, which I watched. Basically this chip, which, let's see a better picture. I think it's this chip right here. It's really hard to see, but this chip is put on the opposite way. So there's one polarity connection on one of the sides. And if you put it on the opposite side, it only goes one way. So Asus did announce today, actually, I saw it on Facebook today, that they announced that they have identified like the lot that these ones are. They will be offering like a free refund and all that kind of stuff. But check your lot number. I saw it on Facebook, like how you can identify if your board is part of that. Also how you can check to see if this is installed correctly, this little chip right here. But yeah, that's kind of crazy.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, how that happens. Because again, that's a little scary.
Especially... And it sounded like it didn't happen like the first time they had used it, right? So it wasn't something that happened immediately, at least from what I saw.
Yeah. I would say if you have a board, if you have a Z6, what is this? The Z690, which I actually have sitting over there. The Z690 Hero ROG Z6. If you have it, check this.
Check it for sure.
This, anytime there's any type of electrical issue, power issue, this might not only happen to your motherboard, but this could affect your CPU, your GPU, especially GPUs are so hard to come by. You don't want to be frying up any other DDR5. You don't want to be frying up any of these other components. And it's going to be a pain in the ass to not have a computer for however time I don't know how they're doing the refund or how they're getting you new, like, you know what I mean? Or even just the pain in the ass of just doing your whole build over, but it's going to be much better than having something like this happen to your computer. I've been there before. And it's the distinct smell. This distinct smell of silicon burning is very distinct, and you know when it's happening, and you're like, you run back in the room. I had that happen before. This is like that happened to me. This is like, maybe like 10 years ago at this point. But yeah, I burned up a CPU, and it's, you know, the smell. So if you have this board, definitely check the serial number and all that stuff. And again, they probably have it on their forms. It's definitely on social media, because I saw it. I saw it on their Facebook page today. So just be safe and go ahead and do that. And mistakes happen. So, also, this is really cool, because we were talking. I really wanted, and I didn't get it. I didn't pull the trigger on that Asus was it the ZenBook Duo with the dual screens, right? And Asus was one of the only companies that kind of offered that dual screen availability in a laptop. And I have a 49-inch monitor, so I like a lot of screen real estate. So Lenovo, these pictures were leaked today or yesterday of their new ThinkBook Plus, 17-inch laptop, where the it's basically like a almost tablet sized secondary screen. From this picture, it looks like, and we know nothing about this laptop just besides these pictures. It's going to come with a stylus, so we're assuming this is touchscreen. By the next picture, it looks like you'll be able to have some input, which is kind of funny considering this is a Mac window. Whoever did these pictures, whoever did these pictures for them, but I guess this should work as an input for Photoshop, Illustrator, things like that. We assume we're not sure if this is all you're going to get on here, right? Like just some shortcuts or whatever. Right. There's another picture.
Well, and what apps support that second?
Yeah, screen? So like here's like out like. So, and Asus had this problem initially with their ZenBook Duo is that not many apps off the bat supported the screen, and they worked with a lot of companies to get some really cool visuals on this second screen. The second thing about the screen is Asus also dealt with is this is flat. It's the same level as the keyboard, so it's like you're going to be looking down, whereas like Asus allowed their screen to be tilted up a little bit, especially in their second generation ZenBooks. They allowed it to be tilted up even more so you can see more of the screen. So it's like how useful is this second screen?
Well, then like glare, like if you got lighting above you, right?
Yeah,
without any tilt. It's a cool concept though. I do like the drawing, the Photoshop.
Yeah. I really do like that we're getting into this. We're getting into more screens on laptops, right? Mm-hmm. Especially like 17-inch. Like you don't need, maybe if you really need a number pad. Like I have a 17-inch laptop. I would love to have a secondary screen on it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like you just think of all the space that the motherboard and everything takes up. Like it doesn't have, especially on a 17-inch motherboard, there's tons of space in that chassis now, mm-hmm. unless you fill it up with a battery or something. But like the laptops at work, right? Like I have a pretty small, like 13-inch laptop that I use at work, and all the components that are needed fit in that body style. So you give it a couple more inches of space, you've got tons of room to do stuff like this now. So,
yeah. So it'd be interesting. I think that as these come out, they're going to get better. Just like the Asus one on the second generation is far better than the mm-hmm. first generation. I can't wait for the third generation of that laptop. I might actually get it because the second screen is just awesome for productivity. So we'll see. We'll see. This is leaked before CES. This is supposed to be announced at CES. So yeah, we'll keep you updated on that there as well. Was that all of our news? We have one more, which again, I'm super big fan of this as well. So ADATA announced two new NVMe SSDs that are currently in the works. Project Nighthawk and Project Blackbird PCI Express 5.0 NVMe SSDs. Read speeds up to 14 gigabytes per second. Yes.
Cool.
Yes. I'm super pumped for these.
Nuts, man.
I am super excited for these. I love NVMe SSDs. I love super fast speeds. So these will be shown at CES. No word on when they will be available or anything like that. I assume all of these drives will be very expensive initially, just like all storage. And again, we're still pretty early into Gen 4 PCI Express 4.0 NVMe SSDs. So to get this stuff coming out with PCI Express 5.0, man, that's going to be some serious speed. So expect a lot of companies to kind of show this at CES. probably with, I would, what do you think? Drives come out towards the middle of the year, March, April, May type time frame, something like that.
Yeah.
Be going to be very expensive, but definitely, definitely something cool to see. And one thing that we didn't do an article on, we did one last week with Intel, but it seems like basically everybody has pulled out. Most of the major companies have pulled out of CES. Which kind of, we weren't planning on going this year, but I think that the shows, it's just the live coverage, you know, from our other sites and stuff is always good to see. And the fact that it's just not going to be like Intel's out, AMD's out, Thermaltake's MSI. Out, MSI. I'm not sure if Gigabyte's out.
Lenovo pulled out.
Lenovo was the first big company to pull out, and then everybody kind of followed suit. There's a lot of companies that are pulling out, and it's just, I guess you understand, you know, why it's going on, but it's just not the same, man. It's just like,
yeah,
you know, just when we thought we were getting back to normalcy and, you know, shows and events and yeah, so
we'll get there.
Yeah. But the good thing is that all of these companies have new products that are set to release, be announced at CES. So you're going to see a lot of stuff next week. Definitely stay tuned for all of that, because there's going to be a lot of really, really cool products. I'm excited. There's some new cases coming that I can't tell you about that I'm really excited for. There's a lot of cool stuff coming. So yeah, we'll definitely keep you guys updated on all of that. Coming next week, I have this laptop that I've been using actually for like over a month now.
Nice.
And you talk about thin and light. This is one of the thinnest and lightest. Lenovo ThinkPad X1 Carbon Generation 9. 14-inch laptop, magnesium alloy and carbon fiber chassis. It's the thinnest and lightest laptop that I've ever used. 14-inch, just under 2.5 pounds. Like it is so, it doesn't feel real. Like it's just so thin and light. Like it's so small. You can take it anywhere. There's a lot of great features in it. I'm going to tell you guys all about it. So if you're looking for something, you know, especially as we get out of this pandemic and you can go sit at a coffee shop again and you can go travel more, you're looking for a thin and light that's also powerful, has a lot of really cool features. This has a lot of great security features because it is a ThinkPad. Stay tuned for that next week. And then we're also going to have best case mods of 2021. So, you know, we have about, I guess with next week or this Friday is still in 2021.
What, we have like 50,
probably
close to 50.
50 to 51 case mods that we featured this year. You know, we'll go ahead and pick at least 4, maybe 5 of our favorites and kind of different categories and things like that. So definitely stay tuned for that. I might be doing one other end of year article as well. So just stay tuned for that kind of stuff. Next week, we likely won't have a podcast. We'll keep you updated on social media if we do. But probably not. The way it's looking now, probably not. Which is still going to be really great because CES is kind of starts on the 5th, technically. And our podcast would have been on the 5th, and it's just like that first day. So the following week, we'll have a big wrap up of all these announcements and all this kind of fun stuff circling around CES, which would be kind of cool. So we'll keep you updated on social media for all of that. And as we come to the end here, I know we talked about, you know, Ryan and I both talked about stuff we got for Christmas, but was there anything else, anything you saw, anything else tech related you did in the past, you know, 2 weeks, I guess?
I don't think so. I think that we covered it at the beginning. Yeah, I'm kind of looking around here. I had some of it out, but it's really just those items I mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah, since you haven't seen it, I mean, I saw New Matrix.
Yeah, pretty good.
It's not going to be... it's not going to be the Matrix again. Sure. It's good to see it. It's good to see that story. It's good to see that world. I'm not going to ruin anything for anybody listening. But I guess there's just, it brought back those feels, but it didn't have those like insane fight scene. Like it didn't have,
there wasn't that thing where you're like, oh my gosh, this is totally new. We haven't seen bullet time.
Yeah. Like that. I don't know how you would top Bullet Time, because at the time when that movie came out in 1999, like yeah. that was
groundbreaking.
Yeah, you never saw that before. So nothing like nothing crazy. And in the end, the fight scenes weren't like as epic, I would say. But if you're a fan of The Matrix, if you like that whole thing, it's worth watching. I'd okay. say that. If you have HBO Max, you can watch it for free. So you don't have to go to the movie theater if you don't want to. So also real quick, what is your favorite? We kind of went over this on our year in review, but like your favorite tech thing of this year, and what are you looking forward to for 2021? Go.
Man, put me on the spot.
I know, putting you right on the spot.
Favorite thing this year? I wish I could say Gen 4 NVMe SSDs, but I can't because I don't even have one yet, right? So I know that I would love it. So that's probably what it would be if I had them. Outside of that, man, I don't know. It's been almost a depressing tech year because of just shortages.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like you can't get so much stuff. I feel bad for those that are trying to build a new system or need a component or, you know, are really looking to upgrade. So I don't have one.
You know what I was just thinking as you were talking? I think this year solved a lot of issues, right? So, okay, so talking about shortages, right? Mm-hmm. Like that first initial shortage of NVIDIA graphics cards, they made it so now like the bots can't go in there and buy everything up, right? Like they've kind of solved that problem.
Sort of.
You know, like they made it so, you know, only one per customer. Like all the stuff like that initial launch of like the 3000 series, which was like late 2019, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, they solved a lot of that over this past year. And they solved a lot of like other problems too with like tech related things as far as like delivery service and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I would say my favorite thing this year, I don't know. I think honestly, a lot of the one thing that's really helped out a lot and helped out us with this podcast, and we saw it with NVIDIA broadcast, but I think it became more prevalent, is like better audio, like better AI noise canceling and things like that. Because it was like gamers and streamers, we obviously wanted it, right? But with everybody, it was basically forced to work
necessity,
from home. Forced to work from home. We've seen some really great products. NVIDIA broadcast has gotten so much better. So with more people doing it, I think that was a great thing. And then coming into next year, I'm really, go ahead.
I was going to say, you said the 3000 series came out in 2019. They came out last year, last September, or last fall.
Okay.
Not yet. Yeah. So they've only been out over a year.
Gotcha. And then coming into this upcoming year, I'm super excited for Ryzen 6000 series.
It is exciting. I'm still super happy with my 3800X.
I think I'm more just, you know me, like I think I'm really excited for motherboards.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're more excited about the motherboards that come along with the CPU.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. I think all of us in the tech world, we just hope that 2022 brings availability of things that we want and no more scalp. I mean, there's always going to be scalpers, but like, you know, there's enough of product in the market that we don't have a graphics card that should be $800. That's $2,800, you know. Hopefully that gets solved over this past year or this next upcoming year. So yeah, guys, we're going to be jumping over. Of course, we got to play games. It's Wednesday night. So we're going to play some games. We're going to be over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Head on over there. Ryan will have the stream up after we get off here playing some Apex. Is there any Apex special thing going on?
I don't think Winter Express. Maybe Winter Express is still going, but we played that like the first week it was out.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah, so
I don't think there's anything new right now.
Oh, we're just going to have some fun, play some games. Yeah. But thanks everybody for coming out. We appreciate all of you, everybody who watches, everybody who listens to us later. And looks like we're going to see everybody next year, because it's going to be 2022. So we will see everybody, like I said, see everybody next year.